Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sarah, Shlomo Ben Sarah, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to be discussing how the fact that third world people, non-white third world people, now dominate the services, the giving of services and providing of services in major corporations across America and throughout America's workforce, and how this is destroying America's economies and society, and how this eventually will come to Israel, God forbid, unless the people of Israel wake up quickly. Because America is now more than 40% third world, more than 40% non-white groups. And it's on its way to becoming a third world majority. There's going to be a third world majority in the United States in the near future. And that's the end of the United States when that happens. Unless something amazing, incredible, spectacular, and completely unexpected happens to the United States to turn the tide at the last minute, that's what's going to happen. That's the inevitable reality of what's coming. And in Israel, we have a situation where there are 6.5 million Jews. And fortunately, Baruch Hashem, right now they have a very large Jewish birth rate, particularly because of the religious Jews in Israel, who are about one-third of Israeli Jews are religious, and they have a very large birth rate. The birth rate among religious Jews is higher than the birth rate among Arab Muslims. So that's one thing that is sustaining Israel. And even the non-religious Jews in Israel have a birth rate that creates population growth that more than replaces their population, which is something rare today in the Western world among white or Western populations. When I say white, because the Sephardic, I don't know if the Sephardic or Mizrahi Jews are even considered to be white. I'm half Mizrahi. I'm half of my family comes from the Arab and Muslim world, and the other half comes from Europe. So I'm half Mizrahi. I don't know if that's even considered to be white, because a lot of Mizrahi Jews, including people in my family, are dark-skinned people. But I'm talking about people with Western orientation and Western culture and modern orientation. And Israel is a country with Western orientation and modern culture. And there's six, and even the non-religious Jews in Israel have a higher birth rate than the white populations in Europe or the United States or other Western countries. And they are more than replacing their population, which is the only country in the world which is creating that for the Jewish people. In every other country, the Jewish population is shrinking. In the United States, in European countries, in Canada, Australia, South Africa, all the other countries, Argentina, the Jewish population is quickly shrinking because of assimilation and intermarriage and all other types of factors. But in Israel, even the non-religious Jewish population is growing every year. And the religious population is booming. There's a very high birth rate, Baruch Hashem, among the religious population. Ken Yirbu. Ken Yirbu is a blessing that we give, and that means it should only increase even more. It should only be even more. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. But despite that, Israel has millions of Arab Muslims who live in the country, and they're constantly trying to promote the Arab Muslims. And now there's an attempt to even bring them into the government and make them cabinet ministers. Just a catastrophe. And the Arab Muslims who openly support Hamas and the terrorists and the destruction of Israel, they want to bring them into the government and make them cabinet ministers. This is what Bibi Netanyahu, the so-called right-wing prime minister, wants to do. And so in Israel, we have the potential for disaster as well. We have the potential for what is already exists in the United States happening in the state of Israel. Because they want to bring Arab Muslims into the government, and they want to have Arab Muslims controlling whole segments of Israeli society the way we have in the United States, third world groups controlling whole segments of American society. We're going to explain why in America that's so destructive, and why it would be destructive, God forbid, in Israel. And not just the millions of Arab Muslims that we're talking about here, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa, Asia, from all over the world that have been flooding into Israel, and Bibi Netanyahu and his government do nothing to expel them or get them out. I'm not allowed to step foot in Israel, But every Jew-hating, illegal alien, black Muslim from Africa who doesn't even know how to wipe his tuchus, who in Africa was wiping his tuchus with leaves, okay, every ignorant, illiterate, half-naked schwarza from Africa is allowed to come into Israel and allowed to stay there illegally. And all these other illegal aliens from all over the world are allowed to stay there illegally. And of course, Arab Muslims who want to destroy Israel and who are murderers of Jews, they're allowed to stay there. And they're given, they're now going to be given cabinet positions by Netanyahu. He wants to bring them into the government and wants to make them part of the government. And brags about the fact that he does so much for the Arabs in Israel, that he does more for the, Netanyahu brags that he does more for the Arabs of Israel than any other prime minister has ever done or than any other party is doing. The Likud is doing more for the Arabs than any other party is doing, and he's telling the truth. That's true when he tells that to the Arab voters. That is all true, which is catastrophic for Israel and for the Jewish people, because he's helping the enemies of Israel and the Jewish people. But on top of that, we have hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens as well. So there is a danger that this, that the things I'm going to explain about America can happen in Israel as well. There's a real danger. So let's bear that in mind. Because Israel is where the action is, and Israel is what we care about the most on this program. Because we know that God blesses those that bless the Jews and curses those that curse the Jews, and that the history and destiny of the whole world is determined by what happens in that little country of Israel. You know, you deal with the United States here, a nation of over 330 million people, and you see at the southern border that huge numbers of third world people now are crashing into the United States. This was happening, by the way, under Trump too. Under Donald Trump, we also had millions of illegal aliens coming into the United States. This was happening under Trump as well. Under Biden, it's increasing, because under Joe Biden, he's practically invited them in. With his rhetoric and the way he's behaving, he's inviting them in. So we see this crisis at the southern border, and we see people coming in here illegally. And the end result, of course, would be disastrous for the United States, will be disastrous for the United States of America. Here are some examples. I'm just looking at something while I'm doing this program, just looking at something. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that this is still on while I'm recording this program. We recently, my mother and I recently traveled. We recently were flying within the United States, a domestic flight on an airline, a major airline. And I can tell you, it's just unbelievable. The airlines overbook. What they do is they book you on a flight. We were booked and ticketed and all ready to go. And the airlines book you on a flight and they overbook. In other words, they book more than 100% of the seats that they have. And then they say, oh, we're sorry, but something came and it's just so overcrowded, we just can't fly you on the airline. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable that this sometimes happens. And so they did this, and they told a number of people, you have to wait here, we have to see if we can get you in, if we can, you know, they're doing us a favor. They booked us, we paid for the tickets, we were booked and ticketed, we were not doing us a favor, they're supposed to let us fly at the time that they promised. But anyway, this is what they did, and we saw the list of the people, and we saw the times when they came in and when they had. There was a list on the screen of when they came in, what the numbers were, who was on the list. And four Hispanics who were behind us on the line, we were ahead of them. We bought the tickets first. Our places were supposed to be first in line. We were there first. In every way, we were there first, and we should have been in there first. They pushed us out of the way and said, the four Hispanics can go and you can't go. Because who are the employees? All the employees there were Hispanic on the airline. They wanted to get the Hispanics on the plane, and they didn't want to get me and my mother, you know, they're not going to let the two gringos on the plane. I mean, this is just an example of the type of things that go on. And I said, I'm going to complain, and this is outrageous, and we were ahead, and, you know, they got a little nervous when I said that. And then, fortunately for us, this Hispanic group of four people decided not to fly in the end. They decided they didn't want to take the flight because they were going to be separated. They weren't all going to be seated together, so they decided not to take the flight and want to take a later flight. So they backed out, so we got on the flight anyway. But the point is, they were going to deny us the right to fly and push other people who were behind us ahead of us just because of their ethnicity. And they denied that that was the reason, and they denied that that was true, but I'm telling you, that was true. That was what they were doing to us. And this is just an example. I mean, and the inefficiency and the mistreatment of customers and poor customer relations and the stupidity and ignorance that you deal with when you deal with airlines. It's unbelievable. Now, one thing you'll notice, almost all the pilots are white males on these airlines, because they're one thing they're terrified about. I mean, affirmative action, they'll claim that they want to push every Schwarze and every Arab and every Muslim and every third world person ahead. But when it comes to the actual flying, they don't want that plane to crash. They don't want to have a lawsuit that will bankrupt them. So they don't want, because that would kill them. They're not going to put some imbecilic, low IQ black person who gets into college or gets into universities and gets all types of degrees and scholars solely because of his race, even though he's lazy and ignorant and has a low IQ. They don't want him flying the plane, because he'll crash that plane, God forbid. And so one area where they don't mess with, I fly somewhat frequently, and every single time I take a plane, the ones I've seen, almost always it's with white male pilots. So they're not playing the affirmative. I don't see transgenders, and I don't see Hispanics, and I don't see blacks, and I don't see Muslims and Arabs and all these other groups. I don't see that there. Or women, you have to have women, you know. And again, I think women are very qualified and very talented people, but they're not the same as men. And there are certain areas where men excel more than women, just as there are areas in life where women excel more than men. So, but eventually, they're going to push into the pilots' positions eventually. That's going to happen. And you're going to see planes crashing, and you're going to see, like in third world countries where they have third world pilots, where there are frequent accidents where planes do crash frequently, and there's all types of catastrophes taking place there all the time. You know, that's rare on American flights and on American airlines right now. That's very rare. They have a pretty good safety record. But all of that will change if they start moving into that area, as well as they're moving into every area. The third world people have to be, after all, it's racist. You have to put third world people in. You have to put transgenders in. You don't want to be homophobic. So you're going to see, you're not going to be able to fly a plane safely. The hospital world is already like that. In the hospital world, you already have a situation. As we've mentioned, you know, my mother and I were in the hospital for 5 days because we were hit by an SUV while we were crossing the street on a green light. And, you know, thank God, miraculously, we got a brilliant, excellent, outstanding Jewish surgeon who does surgery for some of the leading athletic figures in the country. I don't want to say who, but he's a surgeon for some of the big athletes. I mean, it just so happened to be that he was on duty at the hospital at that time. And so I got the best surgeon in the whole state in the hospital at that time. The best, a brilliant Jewish surgeon who was the best for hip and knee surgery and anything involving that area of the body. The best. But what if I had gotten some, and they have black surgeons there, black low IQ affirmative action surgeons. And they have Arab and Muslim and low IQ surgeons from third world countries. What if I had gotten one of them? What if I had gotten one of them? It would have been a catastrophe. And I know people who've gotten surgery from them and sometimes didn't survive the surgery. I know someone who got surgery from a doctor from the Philippines and it shouldn't have been major surgery, and he died on the surgery table. I mean, just terrible, terrible catastrophes happen. And, you know, when you go in the hospital, especially on an emergency basis, like in an accident, something that you're not prepared for, they give you the first surgeon that's available, especially when they have to do urgent surgery. It's emergency surgery. You don't have a choice. You can get one of these affirmative action imbeciles to be operating on you. And that's like a butcher operating on you. And this is the danger in American hospitals today. This is a danger all of us face if you live in the United States. In Israel, fortunately, they still have a very high level of medical care, because the vast majority of doctors are still Jewish. So they still have a very, Israel has a very high level of medical care. But, you know, they keep training Arab doctors and keep training Arab nurses and Arab, we have to have more Arabs involved. You know, they keep doing this insanity. We're going to have in Israel the same catastrophe. We're going to have a catastrophe where people are going to be butchered on the on surgery when they get surgery. Even minor surgery is going to be like going to a butcher shop. And you know, I recently had to have stuff shipped. The shipping companies like FedEx and UPS and the other, just unbelievable. Unbelievable what morons. Every company that you call, if you call for help or technical assistance, you get India or the Philippines or some third world country, people who have difficulty even speaking English or understanding. You don't understand what they're saying and they don't understand what you're saying. And you're depending on them to correct your problem. You know, it's like talking to the wall. You know, you call up and you know, you call up and it's, can I put you on hold for a minute? I have to check. I don't know right now. I'll put you on hold and I see right now if I can get your assistance. You know, they put you on hold and try to figure, and they ask somebody and they, you know, they go around because they don't know what they're doing. They're supposed to be technical experts. Technicians. And that's true for the internet companies, and it's true for all technical companies, and whatever you're doing, you're trapped by this. You're trapped by this insanity that takes place. This has been going on for many years, and we've tried to expose this on our programs for many years. I shipped something with FedEx, and the person I shipped it with was and again, I'm not against people because of the color of their skin. There are blacks and others who are from other third world countries who are exceptions, but they're exceptions. Most of their culture, it's not a racial or genetic thing to me, it's their culture. Most of their culture is a lazy culture and an unproductive culture. And they get everything handed to them on a silver platter. So they're not productive, intelligent, innovative people on the whole, generally. There are exceptions. Of course there are exceptions. But I got this low IQ black person who did not know what the hell he was doing. He's working there at FedEx, and he has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing. So I'm still waiting for an important package for a long time already, and they can't, they keep delaying when it's going to be delivered, so on and so forth. And I can demand a refund, but it's still, what if I get a refund? Big deal. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, just the simple thing that you want becomes a big deal when you have people who are morons who are working there and who are hired solely because of their race. How do I do this? Hector, can you tell me how I'm supposed to be doing this? I don't know what I'd be doing. You know, I mean, I press this button and it don't work, and then I press this and it don't work. I don't know. I mean, I think, should I put him on hold or should I do this? And I'm down there, you know, I'm down there with the package, and then I told him, I told him what to do. I told him what to do. I already knew what to do. I'm the customer and I know more than him, the employee, about how to do his own job because I've dealt with these companies for years. I'm 64 years old, and I've dealt with these companies for many years, so I knew more about his job than he did, and he was an employee there. I mean, it was pathetic. And of course, he's not going to listen to me. I don't listen to no white man telling me what to do. Anyway, you know, they're convinced, because of television and Hollywood and everything else and all the propaganda and everything that we're seeing now, they're convinced that they're geniuses. When they have the college, when they get off on college and they have college break, spring break, they invade, blacks invade cities and trash entire cities. Huge numbers of black people are now at leading universities and colleges solely because of their race. They're complete morons. They're learning nothing. They're incapable of learning anything. They don't want to learn anything because they're lazy. And they're filled with hatred and envy toward white people. And half of them have white girlfriends. You know, the white girls now, this is the new in thing. White girls are attracted to gorillas. I mean, it's unbelievable. You see the most beautiful white girls now. It used to be that the you know, the only white girls that would go with blacks, I mean, years ago when I was younger, when I was in my 20s and 30s, the only white girls I would see with blacks were looked like dreck. But now, and they spoke like dreck. They spoke, they tried, there were white people who tried to speak like black. I'm gonna get my fried chicken now. Don't you worry about nothing. I'm gonna get it, and then I'm gonna fix it up for you. You know, and this is a white girl speaking. And now, and many of them are alcoholics and drug addicts and so on. Now, you see well-dressed, supposedly well-educated, good-looking young white girls going with black men who, and I'm not saying all black people look like this, but the black men that I've seen them going with in most cases look like gorillas. I mean, they're hanging on to these gorillas. It's just unbelievable. And they're walking with them like it's normal, like it's a normal couple. This is every third or fourth couple you see now is this. This is the beginning of the end. America is finished. This continues. America is finished. Finished. And I don't want to see this, and I don't want to see this happening in Israel. I don't want to see Jewish girls going with Arab Muslims or going with black Africans, which is what is happening in some cases in Israel now. Thousands of Jewish girls going with black Muslim, with black Africans and Arab Muslims and other dreck. I don't want to see that in Israel. I don't care. I don't want to see. I don't care who it offends. I don't want to see it. And the Arabs and the Schwarzes beat them and rape them and miss and abuse them. And then they're sorry, you know, they went into it, and they, you know, and it's too late. I mean, what did you expect to get out of them? You know, I mean, I passed the store window the other day, store that was selling televisions, and they had six different channels, they had six different televisions in the store window, and there were six different channels on. And I couldn't believe my eyes. Five out of the six channels that were on had programs with black people. Five out of the six. Two of them were programs with judges. Some black judge. They sit on the bench and they, you know, order in the court. Order in the court. Mm-hmm. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. Order in the court. Order in the court. You know, two black judges. The black judges, they're the geniuses now. And the white, you see on television all these shows with black judges and white defendants coming and begging the blacks, and the blacks are the bosses, the blacks are the ones ruling over the whites now. What the hell is this? This is a country that has gone insane. Insane. And five out of the six television stations, five out of the six channels, you had shows with black people on. You had a soap opera with black people on. You had two court shows where they're showing judges with black judges on, black judges running in the black courtroom. And again, the black soap opera. And I don't remember what else, but five out of the six were black programs on. Five out of six programs. They're 13 or 14% of the population, blacks in the United States. And they completely, the television industry has completely given them everything, commercials, programs, everything. They're the doctors, they're the lawyers in the movies, they're the everything. They're the big geniuses, they're promoted and exalted and all lies told about them. And what a joke. How come in Africa they never achieve anything? How come you never see black Africans creating things scientifically or technologically or things that really require brain power? You never see that. Never. Almost never. Almost never. The Jews, this tiny little people, is like 27, 28% of the scientific Nobel Prizes. And they're like 0.2% of the world population. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Jew, the tiny little Jewish people that are maybe, 11 million, 12 million Jews in the world, they have 100 times more Nobel Prizes and achievements in science, in technology, in the things that really show brain power, they have 100 times more than Africa, which has over a billion people, than all of Africa, which has over 1 billion people. or than the Muslim world, which has 1.5 billion people. Another group of geniuses. But if you see a Hollywood movie, or you see a television show, or you see the television news, all they do day and night is promote them and exalt them and talk about how wonderful they are. And people on the so-called right, Fox News, they always have to have the blacks come on, black commentators, black shows, black everything, black, 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 everything. The whole country is on its hands and knees before these people. And the end result will be disastrous. And this is one of the reasons why I couldn't stand Donald Trump. Because he was such a bluff. He did nothing about this. He did nothing to change or correct this. Or change this. And the opposite. He played along with it 100%. The first thing he would say in his campaign was how he lowered African-American unemployment. Big deal. That's what's important for the future of America. And he supported affirmative action. He supported all these terrible things. Yes, Donald Trump supported those things. And the first thing he would always emphasize, how much he's done for blacks, and how much he lowered black unemployment, and how much he's helping blacks, and he helps blacks much more than Democrats. And a lot of it is true. That's one of the reasons why I couldn't stand him. It's just one of the reasons. Aside from the fact that he was not a friend of Israel, that was baloney. The agreements he made with Dubai and the United Arab Emirates and all these other countries to have relations with Israel are disastrous for Israel. The Arabs are going to use that to buy up Israel and endanger Israel by buying up Israel's economy, by investing billions in the Israeli economy and taking over the country, buying up Israeli companies, buying up Israeli technology, taking over the country. That's what these agreements will lead to, God forbid. And it's already leading to that, God forbid. The agreements are terrible for Israel. The worst. And so, the people of Israel had better wake up. If they don't want this to happen to little Israel. Little Israel especially can't afford this, because little Israel, 6.5 million Jews, surrounded by 500 million Arab and Iranian Muslims who want to destroy the Jewish state, who hate the Jews and envy the Jews, vicious, cruel people who would love to commit genocide against the Jews, who've already committed genocide against their own people. You know how many Holocausts there have been in the Muslim world, Muslims slaughtering Muslims? Millions of Muslims have been slaughtered by their fellow Muslims. Just in the Iran-Iraq war alone, over 2 million Muslims were slaughtered by their fellow Muslims in the war between Iran and Iraq. In Syria, over 1 million Muslims have been slaughtered in the civil war in Syria. And there's so many other examples. In Pakistan, there was a civil war between West Pakistan, there was something called West Pakistan and East Pakistan. Now East Pakistan is called Bangladesh. Pakistanis went in and slaughtered 3 million Bengali Muslims. 3 million, slaughtered them in cold blood. If this is what they do to each other, what are they going to do to the Jews if they ever get a chance? To the hated Jews. If this is what they do to their own brothers and sisters, their own fellow co-religionists who believe in Muhammad and Quran and Hadith and the Kaaba and Mecca and Medina and all these other, they believe in all of these things and Ramadan, and they do this to their own brothers and sisters, what would they do to the hated Jews? What would they do to the hated Christian infidels if they ever had a chance? They'd kill every single one of us if they could. Every one of us if they could. And little Israel surrounded. What are they doing? They have a government now. Itamar Ben-Gvir, who calls himself a Kahanist, refuses to say. Before he said it was okay if Mansour Abbas and the Ra'am party, which is a Arab political party that openly supports the Hamas terrorists and the destruction of Israel. That means genocide against the Jewish people. And Itamar Ben-Gvir said it's okay to make a deal with him and let him support the Likud, and there's a deal that they would make a coalition deal with this Arab terrorist party. This is Itamar Ben-Gvir, who once claimed to be a Kahanist, who once claimed to be a follower of our great beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Kahana, who was the greatest Jewish leader in modern history, who knew the, who was the only one who told the truth, and people who claimed to be his followers are playing this con job on the Jews of Israel, and they're supporting letting Arabs come in and become part of a coalition government and become part of even, and they say, you know, there are all types of tricks they use. Well, they're not part of the government, they're just abstaining. Yeah, but they're making a deal with Netanyahu that in exchange for that, they get to do whatever they want in Israel. They get to murder, they get a license to commit mass murder. I mean, you look at Israel, the success of the Israeli vaccination effort. You know, Israel is almost close to developing herd immunity because they vaccinated almost their entire population. They vaccinated almost all the adults in their population already. Look at the United States, how far behind the big, mighty, wealthy United States is. United States should have gotten all this done much quicker than little Israel. United States has the resources to grab these companies and say, that's it, you're going to give us this and we're going to, you know, come on. And under both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, we've had this unbelievable joke of a situation where they just can't get the job done. Because down the supply chain, what do they have? Where are they going to get, where are they going to have the vaccinations? Through city and state governments and county governments that are all run by morons and imbeciles and bureaucrats, half of whom are illiterate and the other half are corrupt. Or they're going to give the vaccinations through companies like Walgreens and CVS and other companies that they were talking about giving the vaccinations through these companies. Have you ever seen who works in these companies? Of course it's going to be inefficient, it's going to be a joke, and the vast majority of people still aren't vaccinated. And we still have the virus raging in the United States. Whereas in Israel, the numbers are way down, and Israel's problem is being solved very quickly, because Israel is not yet has not yet been taken over by the third world people, and the United States, basically as far as the workforce is concerned, has been. The United States workforce now is dominated by third world people, and that is a corrosive, destructive reality that makes that is making America more and more unlivable. You can't call up a government agency or a private company, or any, you can't call up or deal with anything and get human beings on the phone and get people who speak the language of the United States is English. Usually she gets people who speak English. And again, my head is in Israel, even though I'm not allowed to go there because of what I'm telling you, because of the message I'm giving you now. I'm not allowed to go there. But my heart is in Israel, my soul is in Israel, my head is in Israel. That's the country that I care and love. And that's the most important country in the world for anyone who knows anything about the Bible and knows anything about what Hashem demands from us. But that doesn't mean I don't understand what's going on here in the United States. I do understand what's going on here in the United States. It's insanity. It's insanity. The only time you did have a Hispanic or someone who was half Hispanic running for president, Ted Cruz, he was a genius. But him they didn't want. And him they didn't say, oh, you'd be making history, you'd be electing the first Hispanic, the first Cuban American as president. That they didn't want, which that would have been making history. That would have been making history. But unlike when Barack Hussein Osama was running, oh, they got so excited. Oh, it's history, we're making history, we're doing such great things, this is so wonderful, what a great chapter in America. Wow, it's so exciting, it's so electrifying. So, that's where we stand right now. And in Europe, by the way, the corona situation is even worse than the United States. Because Europe is even more politically correct and even crazier than the United States. What a joke. Israel. We want to warn the Jews of Israel to wake up and not fall into this same trap. In the end, Hashem will protect and save Israel. But we don't want there to be unnecessary suffering and catastrophe and bloodshed, which is what will come, God forbid, if the Jews don't wake up. we're trying to wake the Jews up with our message. So we have a message in Hebrew which has reached millions of Israeli Jews over the years. Our Hebrew advertising campaign over the years has reached millions of Israeli Jews. And it's reaching thousands of them every week. And we bring them the type of message that you're hearing on these programs. No one else dares to say what we say. No one else dares to give this type of message. No one. Itamar Ben-Gvir, by the way, from the so-called Otzma Yehudit party, which means Jewish power or Jewish strength. What a joke to call his party that when he behaves the way he behaves. Bowing down to Netanyahu day and night and worshipping Netanyahu, anything to keep a seat in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament. Itamar Ben-Gvir, even within his own party, they're attacking. There are certain people that have started to attack him for his positions, because now he just did another interview where again he refused to say that he will not oppose. He refused to say that he will oppose and vote against a government that has the Arab terrorist party Hamas in as part of the coalition agreement. If they make an agreement with Netanyahu, the Ra'am party, the Hamas supporting Ra'am party. Itamar Ben-Gvir, the so-called super right-winger, refuses to say that he will vote to bring down the government. He refused to say that on an interview with Kikar HaShabbat. I don't know if it's Kikar HaShabbat, the site, or it's Kikar Shabbat. It's called either Kikar HaShabbat or Kikar Shabbat. That was the name of the site where he did the interview. Anyway, it's just, you know, he's a sellout. He's a sellout and a fraud and a phony and a backstabber. And this is what we're getting all across the board. What a miracle it is that the Jews survive with in a situation like this. But we're bringing the truth to the people. And again, I just wanted to share with you some perspective on how bad things can get if we don't wake people up. If we don't wake people up, things can get very bad. Just look at what's happening in America, where things are getting very bad right now. People don't even recognize this country. Again, I'm 64 years old. I don't recognize the United States of America that I knew when I was younger. I do not recognize this country. And it's coming to the point where the country will be lost forever. We don't want the same thing, God forbid, happening to Israel, which is God's nation and where the future of the whole world is hanging. The destiny of the whole world is hanging on what happens in little Israel. We don't want that happening to Israel. If you agree that this is an important message that has to be told, then you're in the right place. Because if we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and we can make a difference. Remember, I think we played a role in helping to take one or two seats away from Netanyahu and his allies in this election, which has created a problem for him in assembling a government. He still may assemble a government in the end, but we've created a little bit of problem. We made it a little harder for him, I think, with the millions of Israeli Jews who were exposed to our message. So we're doing what we can to make a difference, and if we fight together and work together as a team, maybe we can make the type of difference that can save lives and that can save the Jewish homeland. And if we save the Jewish homeland, that's saving the world. We can try to do the best we can and pray to Hashem. That's what we're obligated to do. That's what we're in this world to do. And so until next week, for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.